Seems I didn't come prepared today. It is so good to see you, truly. And for all those that are here, those that are visiting with us, we're glad you've come our way. And for those that are watching on our live streaming, we're thankful for you as well. And as we consider topics of the day and all that goes with it, we have much to consider in ourselves. So that today I want to, you want to click me? Am I not? Okay, there we go. All right. So today I'm talking about tuning in, and it's because of Exodus, the idea, some of the ideas that are there that we've been studying in class are here that we need to think about, meaning it may have been written to them, it may be for a particular time in a particular place, but many times things come to us. And in this case, let's read this. So it says, "So Moses came and called the elders of his people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken we will do.' And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever.' Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord also," excuse me, yeah, here, let's, here, click in the right place. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Then go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. And for on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people, and you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he will surely be stoned and shot through, whether beast or man, he shall not live. And when the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain.' And so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, 'Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman.'" And so it came about on the third day, when it was morning, that there was thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." Now, that's a long reading that we have read a few weeks ago, and we understand it. But there's two points that I want us to consider. The first one is this. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever." Now then, that may not sound like anything, but that sounds like a great deal. That these are the people, and there's a good number of people here, that there's this people that are not listening to Moses, as if Moses may be the representative of God, but Moses is not God. I can complain to Moses where I wouldn't complain to God. And that was what was going on. I think that there was a real mindset along those lines that they could do that. And they were not understanding that what Moses is saying to you came from God. And because it came from God, you need to hear it. But they weren't. No, they were letting themselves be what they wanted to be. And then, let me get my, here we go. And so it came, this is the second one. So it came about on the third day when it was morning, that there was the thunder and lightning and flashes, the thick cloud and the mountain and the loud trumpet, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Now, when they actually get to hear God, and you know, sometimes we might say that same thing, is that I don't know that I have heard God. And then something will happen to cause you to think, I just heard God. And it says that when they heard God, they trembled. And so, how do we come to God and then not tremble? This is a point. We read His Word, we understand His power and might and give praise to His name and all the good things that we do that way. But do we tremble? Do you think about who you're dealing with when you deal with God, and you see where I'm coming from? And it is under that mode that we understand that God is love, and we come to hear Him. And we understand that His ways are better than our ways, and therefore we listen to what He has to say because He directs us in a better way. We want the relationship that we have, and that relates all the way back to what Terry was saying this morning to the very first gospel sermon. They wanted that relationship with God. And that then when we have this feeling of relationship is by our obedience to Him. And then communication with Him. And so, when I ask all of this, and I do you hear God? Now, there's a lot of people who talk about a lot of ways that God spoke to me and said so and so and said such and such. And I think God speaks to us, but I think He speaks to us through His Word. That everything else becomes suspect. I have little voices that tell me things that I ought to do. I know y'all don't have those little voices, but I do. I have those little voices that tell me I ought to do something, and I could say something that was a little mean or funny or whatever. And did God tell me that when one of those little voices goes off? And I'm going to say, I don't think so. And especially if I had some sort of meanness in mind, those kinds of things. And so that I don't trust little voices. And so I want to go with you, if you will, to Romans, the 10th chapter. And it says, but what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, that's the whole idea, is that I do believe in who Jesus is, and I do believe and care about Him. My faith is true, okay, and that God raised Him from the dead. Yes, I believe that. And then it goes on to say, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. That there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, and for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on the name of the Lord and will be saved. How then will they who call on Him in whom they have not believed, and how will they believe in Him whom they have not heard, and how will they hear without a preacher, and how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Okay, and so, this is a passage that we know, but I wanted it in its context. That my faith comes from the fact that I believe what I have heard about Jesus Christ. That I believe that He was the Messiah. I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe that He took bodily form. I believe that He lived a perfect life. I believe that He was crucified and that He was raised again. I believe all of those things. And the reason I believe all of those things is because they are written in Scripture. I was told by God those things happened. And it is that causes me to be convinced. And so there is much that you could think about the process of how you came to believe in Jesus Christ. But when I ask, have you heard? Have you? Because there's points in which we say, I hear what you're saying, I believe all that you just said. And when Jesus says something else about what you must do, not real sure that I can do that, want to do that, will do that. And you understand that hearing is a different kind of hearing when it's being used in the Bible. It means hearing with understanding and acting upon the understanding. In other words, putting it in to use. So, have you heard? And so there can never be understanding without knowing what was said. And you can know the words but not understand the message. There are lots of doctrines that that men state that I don't understand what they're saying. Meditation offers the way to understanding, and understanding leads to wisdom, and we sort of get the idea. So I ask you the question, for all of those of you, we think that when a rabbit listens, what is he listening for? And I think that we all know, really, he's listening to hear if something's after me. Because the first thing I think I'm going to find is that. And there are people who say that those big ears help that. And that I have heard it said that up to 200 yards away they hear you coming and will already be moving away from you. So, if they heard you coming, they heard you because they're listening, and they do more than simply listen, okay, because they may smell you as well or even in front of hearing you. And then I want you to understand what I mean by tuned in. It's not simply listening for what I want to hear. It's being tuned in. And being tuned in is much broader and is different. And so that this sense, do they listen with more than their ears? And I want to suggest that they do. And so when we come and we ask, are you tuned in to God? You see, are you? Are you tuned in? Because it isn't simply the words that are said, it is the meaning behind the words, it's the example that has been given, it is the process of how Jesus acted that I am trying to become like, that it is not simply the fact that I do what I'm told, it is that I anticipate what my Father may want. And that's a different kind of thing, is it not? That I anticipate what my Father would want me to do, that I'm going to be about the things that He would have me do anyway, and that whatever my chores are, yes, but I would go beyond that. And so there's a lot of difference between listening and being tuned in. From Hebrews 7, why do we need a better high priest? Because the one we had, you see, was he not the high priest? He was. But what Jesus brings is something that is so much better than that. Are we tuned into then what's going on around us? And I'm speaking spiritually at this time. Better yet, I don't have to be. Are you tuned into what's going on around you anyway? So, the reason I say this, I'm getting older and I don't notice what I used to notice. My sense of awareness, I try to be aware, but I'm not as aware as I used to be. And all of a sudden, there's a car where I didn't see them. Renee will attest to it. She hollers that something's there that I didn't see. Why didn't I see? Was I listening? Well, my ears aren't what they used to be, but at the same time, was I looking? Was I aware of my surroundings? And that's the point of it. We are given mirrors and all the things that we have in a car so that we might be able to see. Now you have stuff that can let you go to sleep and it'll be all right. And that no one will hit you. You'll drive and stay in your lane even if you pass out. I like that. I think that will dull your senses. That part of what keeps us alive and keeps us where we should be is the fact that I know that I must be aware of what's going on. And so that does your life reflect what God wants to the point that when you know something is amiss without reading it as a fault? Do you know what I said about when I just said that? Do you know that I have something amiss within me, though I haven't read the fault, the sin I've committed? I think we do. I think we know a lot of things that inside me something is wrong and that I need to fix that thing. You see, and so with the rabbits that we talked about, run. Run away from what that thing might be. And so if we're going to get in tune, then how do you get in tune? How do you get in tune with God? You see, that's as good a point as anywhere. Is it simply because I feel like it? Because I've done some things, I've gone through my checklist today, and I'm what I'm supposed to be today? Am I in tune with God because of that? The simple answer to getting in tune is that, well, we're going to study God's Word, understand, worship consistently, listen to sermons, class teachers, meditate, pray. We're going to do those things that God has given us to do for the sake of keeping Him on our minds. Yes, I do that. But the complex answer is to know God to the point that I feel Him with me. That I don't leave this place and I walk out of the spiritual realm and into the physical world and that, but know that God goes with me there. Okay? And that His sense of being with me, that I'm being guided by Him as well and for my safety's sake. It is not for the fact that I fear Him so much as the other way. And so I ask the question, for those of you that hunt, did your father teach you that when you go into the woods, there's some stuff that is hunting you and that you need to be careful? And I probably should have put a snake up there instead, because they're more likely to be the one that slips up on you. But the fact of the matter is when you're in the woods and your father is with you, he tells you about these things. Oh, here are tracks of this and that, and you understand what that is, what it means, and that you are to be aware, and your awareness is the same as the rabbit in this case. I'm going to do that. But if your father is not with you, is he with you by the teachings he's given you? And I suggest that yes, he is. That if you want to get close enough to take prey, that there's a way you move in the woods. It's not your usual clopping through the woods, because you don't care if there's an animal there or not. You see, your father is with you because you're tuned in to what he taught you. So, do you think that most of the time that it's that you cannot hear or that you won't hear? See, that's our next one, is that the message is out there, it's just I'm not listening to it. Because I want to do what I want to do. And so, why would you want to live too close to the wildlife if you could be hurt by it? You ever wanted to pet a bear? No. How about Bambi? Yes. Okay. A snake? No. Jesus spoke in parables because anyone could understand the point of the parable, and what is keeping us from hearing God, or what keeps you where you can't tune in? What is that? Is it that you're too busy? Is it your mind is so full of things of the day that you can't find the spiritual realm without going through something? I want you to consider the idea that prayer has a great deal to do with our feeling of tuned in. And it's not simply that I do pray, because we're told to pray. I can take the form of that and pray, and I can be and know that I may be praying enough for myself. But I want you to consider the topics of prayer for a bit, that most of us pray for the things that concern me or my family. Most of us pray quickly instead of taking our time. Most of us do not consider what we want to pray for before we pray, that this is just a conversation between me and God, and that it's spontaneous. And I believe there's a time for that, but I also believe that there is a time for dedicated prayer for things that are necessary. And so how often do you pray for what God wants from you? Do we pray for our sins to be forgiven? Well, we don't forget that one. We never forget to pray for our sins to be forgiven. We pray for the needs of the moment, that I have things that have happened today that I need to have dealt with, and we understand that. And we need to pray for God's will in us, though. Not my will be done, your will be done. That the Father's will be done in me. And you see, unless I do that, unless I have that, then more than likely I don't. And that I have prayer, but I may not be tuned in. And so that we need to pray for our ability to tune in to more than being saved when I die. We were put here, left here, given the gospel for the message that we may teach someone else. And it may not be a message where I sit you down in a chair and teach you the gospel of Christ verse by verse. I'm talking about the lesson that we teach by the manner in which we act, by the kindness in which we show, by the extras that we give that weren't asked for. It is those things where we express what Jesus expressed for us, who died while we were yet sinners, He died for the chance that we might believe. And there are those that will and there are those that won't. But in Philippians it says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better, and yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. And so I am going to do good in Christ regardless of where I am. And if it is with Him, which I want it to be, it is what I'm working for, it is what it's all about. I want to do that. And if not, the work that I do here for Him is worth something. And it's worth thinking about. Because nothing happens without planning to do it. Not really. Our spontaneity is spontaneous for the moment, but truly, even the things that we do for recreation and do spur of the moment, we've given thought that that's what I want to do sometime before. And so, do you see this statement from Paul as being tuned in? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You see, could I make that statement? Can I say that I live for Christ? That the reason I'm here, the whole reason that I'm here is for Him. Or is it about all the topics that we have for ourselves? I think Paul, because he goes on to say later, I'm content in all things. I know how to be with or have gain and be with and be flush, as we say. And I know how to be without. And it doesn't matter. I still have Christ. And so, can we gain that kind of comfort in our day-to-day life? And I believe many times our frequency must change. that I must tune in by wanting to be what God wants, do what He wants, see what He wants, love what He loves. And I believe that that starts in my prayer. And that my prayers need to be more toward Him rather than me. I was recently asked to go to my quiet place. This is a picture of that's around Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it's the type of place that was my place, my quiet place. It's high enough that you can see a long ways. And as you can see, what is around this particular spot is nothing. Just some rocks and cactus. There might be a rabbit or some other kind of wildlife. But I was quite alone. And I began to pray in that place. And there were no distractions. No phone going off because the phone won't work there. Not that high up. Not in that particular place. I'm surrounded by God and His beauty. And my thoughts went there easily. We need our quiet place. That quiet place begins, I think, outside of the body, is a place that comforts you. It's a physical place of quiet. The quiet could have the noise of waves coming in, or a place where birds and crickets sing, or it could be the backdrop of a beautiful sunset, or it could be a dark room with no noise at all. I don't know where your place would be. But once you've found it, pray to God about being godly. Pray with no reservations about who you really are. Pray knowing that God can tune you in the same way a musician tunes his instrument before he plays. Pray until you're tuned, and then go play a great song. Sounds like the right thing to do, doesn't it? I hope that you think so. I hope that you'll give it some thought. Is this what I need today? Is to find that quiet place with Him and pray to Him and for Him and His ways. If you're not a Christian, we ask that you become one. Do the same things that they did in the New Testament times of repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins, and then giving your life and dedicating yourself to Him. And if we can help you in any way, for whomever it may be, won't you come as we stand and sing?